volunteer now. We can back now. A broken fight to the Christ our show. Did not end up on your radio or your computer. Or your cellular mobile device. This is Regional Breakdown.
Yep. Another Sunday, another 60 minutes of Watchtower Magazine readings. I'm Evan Wansbrough, and this is Regional Blackout on 101.9 CITR Vancouver. As always, you can find us on your radio dial. You can download a podcast and find us on Twitter at Regional B. And we also have a Facebook page that is facebook.com/regionalblackout. We've got an outstanding show for you lined up today. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking to a Hurricane Sandy survivor, Noah Kaplan, out in Long Island, New York, who some of you might know better as Rookie Rochelle of the Young Rochelles, the New Rochelles, and, occasionally, my own band, the Isotopes. Now, as you may or may not be able to tell, my cohort, Matt Haggerty, is absent today. He's on vacation. He's on leave. And I'm proceeding without him, but here in his stead is a very special guest co-host, the major rager on the four-string motherfucker laying waste to Mounds of Venus, touring the globe the past few years as a member of the Isotopes, the Vibrators, the Exploding Fuck Dolls, and currently the infamous Real McKenzies, Troy Zach. Troy!
Hello!
Great to have you here, man. How are you doing? Thanks for being on the show on short notice.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Great, man. So, how's that intro? Is that a good intro? Do you like that intro?
I liked it. It was slick.
It was slick?
Yeah.
I couldn't get a CV for you on short notice, so I had to get that off your Tinder site, your profile on Tinder.
Right. I don't even know what Tinder is.
Oh, don't play coy. Don't play coy.
I don't, actually.
Well, I'm going to give you some pointers on that later, I think.
Okay, then. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think someone must be using your identity.
Yeah, well,
to pick up chicks on Tinder, or dudes.
Some people have no self-esteem whatsoever, and they would have to scrape the bottom of the barrel and use my identity to pick up chicks. I don't know who they're picking up. They can't be that great.
Well, you know, there's different, what do they say? There's different flavors for every taste. Is that not something that they say?
Different strokes for different folks?
They say that, too. So anyway, I was going to ask you what's new, but I talk to you every day, and
yeah.
I know it's new. Let's stop sniffing each other's butts here and break it down to the brass tacks. You are set to depart for tour, and in less than a week, you're going overseas to tour Europe for 6 weeks, playing bass for the Real McKenzies.
Europe. Yeah, can't wait. We leave on Sunday, and we fly into Berlin. We have a few days to rehearse over there with our Piper, then we have a live rehearsal to get our sound man in shape at SO36. And yeah, then we start in Berlin, then we go to play. Our second show is co-headlining with the Dropkick Murphys at the Mighty Sounds Festival in the Czech Republic. And from there, we're traveling all over Europe, even playing in Russia. It's in Anapa. It's a three-day festival, four stages, with 145,000 people expected. It's one of the biggest festivals on the planet.
Wow, that's incredible. 145,000 people.
Yeah, we're playing with the Hives and a whole bunch of bands. We're playing with the Hives and Millencolin and a slew of other bands I can't remember the names of right now.
But Notables, sounds like a big festival, and mm-hmm. You guys fit right in over there.
Yeah.
What are your expectations of this tour? And I mean, you haven't been to Europe, I know that, but you've been around the world, and how do you prepare for something like this?
Just a lot of work, making sure your shit's together. And we're fortunate enough to have people in our camp who take care of all the minor details. Well, I guess they're not that minor, you know, but as far as work permits and visas for whatever countries you need visas for, we have someone doing that for us, and make sure you go over there with enough topical cream to get rid of any rashes that you might, develop along the way.
I heard you guys have a sponsorship for that now, actually.
Yeah, we do, but, you know.
That's new since you joined the band, though, right? You lined that one up.
No, really, just the band is getting everything together, just making sure our rehearsals are tight. We have, three members in the band that have been in the band for, like, 3 years or less, so.
How long have you been in the band at this point?
It'll be 2 years coming up right away.
So you're fresh blood.
Fresh blood.
And yeah. And mentally and physically, how do you, I mean, besides the topical cream, how do you prepare for a long tour like this? Because 6 weeks on the road with a band that's, you know, famous for being a wild group of guys, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of time, a lot of good times over there.
Yeah, well, normally, you know, for something else where you're traveling, you might want to get in shape. You might want to go to the gym, do some crunches, maybe shed a few pounds so you look good without a shirt. But in this band, you have to kind of prepare by drinking more, getting your liver ready, because you're going to be drinking every day. There's one constant thing in your life over there. It's going to be alcohol. So you don't want to be going over there and not being able to handle it. So I've been training pretty hard. Like to say thanks to all the good people at for supplying me with lots of cold beverages.
We'll get those names in there for later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Subletting your apartment, making sure work doesn't fire me, that's key. It's actually almost 7 weeks over there, and we get back, we're here for 2 weeks, then we do a 2-week tour of the West Coast, which ends in San Diego, and then we go up to San Francisco to record for 2 weeks at Motor Studios with Fat Mike, and that'll be our whatever record that is, 8th record or 9th record on, and it'll be out on Fat.
Are you at liberty to say if you'll be participating in the songwriting process at all on that record, or do you have an idea of how it's working?
There's a few ideas I brought to the table. One song that I brought in that everybody's really excited about, and Mark Boland, a guitar player, wrote a cool melody for it, and Paul's written some vocals and a vocal melody, and so there's one definitely on the table, 2 maybes, and we're going to see what happens when we get in the studio with Mike and what he does with them. And Mark's brought a bunch of ideas to the table. Our Piper Gord has written a lot of songs for the album as well. So
cool. So you guys have you're not short on material to go down there with, and that's got to be pretty exciting for you to be heading down and recording with a bunch of professionals, you know, that Fat Mike and the guys down there are.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to kick my ass, you know, whatever. It's going to be great.
And that's a good thing.
Yep.
So let's take a listen to a song here that actually is co-written by Troy and myself. It's an Isotope song originally, and at some point on tour, when Troy was with us, he decided to rewrite the lyrics.
Yeah.
And use it for his own band that he was doing at the time, Kentucky Womanizer.
Right.
So what can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
Well, I based it off a song you wrote called Heat Seeker, and I couldn't get the song. It's one of my favorite songs from the Isotopes Punk Rock Baseball Club. It's one of my favorite, and it was in my head, stuck in my head. And I was driving through Oregon, through the mountains. Everyone was sleeping in the van, and I wrote a song called Dope Seeker. And I used your phrasing and your changes, and I rewrote the lyrics, and it's just based off of kind of what I do for work when I'm not on the road. It's based off of, you know, the marginalized population that I work with, and the stories that I hear. I kind of summed it all up in a 1-minute song.
All right, so this is the song. It's Dope Seeker. It's by Kentucky Womanizer, written by Troy Zach, and hope
Evan
you enjoy
fucking
it.
October.
And Evan fucking October. So we're going a 51-49 split on this one. I like it. I like what you've done with it. If I may say, I like in the chorus, you changed the second note, the second chord of the chorus to the fifth, which I was kind of puzzled about at first when I heard it, but then I realized that that is what the bass plays in the song. and that must be why you did that on guitar. But I really like the way that that sounds and the change that that makes.
Thank you very much.
That's right. Another thing about that song I really liked is the line, I've lived through cotton fever, because I know that that's been a trying thing for many people. That's been that was serious, man.
Yeah, the cotton fever. Maybe not so much, but it's an annoying thing that comes with unsafe injection practices, using cotton swabs to draw your dope through in your wash and having a dirty wash. People get really itchy and irritable skin, and they're basically crawling in their skin. But, you know, you play with fire, you get burned.
That's right. Sounds unpleasant. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about was you just recommended to me a book that I picked up and I've been reading.
Yeah.
It's called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And it basically is a motivational book, sort of for a self-help book for creative people who are artists or into, you know, any kind of creative project. And it addresses overcoming the forces of resistance that we all face at one time or another when it comes to sitting down and doing your creative work. We seem to find distractions of many kinds, of any kind, to prevent us from actually sitting down and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it talks about the differences between an amateur and a professional at your craft.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I mean, you recommended the book to me. What have you taken from it?
Well, a friend of mine recommended it to me, too. So I picked it up based on her recommendation. And people turn their nose up at self-help books automatically. They think that it's kind of weird and flaky. But the way that Stephen, this author, lays it out is we create our own obstacles. And quite often I find myself, when I have to practice or when I have to write or when I have, like, tasks to do that are going to get me through my day and help me better myself as a musician, we always make excuses, and we find a way to shift blame and do things like that. So the way he lays it out in the book is that he just says, you know, we create all of our own resistance, all of our own obstacles, and that's a daily battle that you have to deal with, and the only way to overcome it is to do the work. Basically, when you get out of bed in the morning, to do the work and to stop making excuses. It's that simple. It's a thing that your teachers tell you when you're going to school. It's the same thing your parents tell you when you're growing up, is that, you know, stop your bitching and do the work. If there's ever a problem or an obstacle, you've created it. Now, that's going to cover a lot of ground. I mean, you can argue that all day, but at the end of the day, whatever your problem is, whatever your obstacle is, no matter how big or small, it's up to you to get through it. And that's kind of the thing that he presents in the book, you know. And it talks about a lot of things, but I recommend the book. The War of Art is quite good, actually, whether you're a student or a musician, a writer, or even, you know, a young professional trying to hone their craft at whatever, you know, in whatever arena that they function. It's actually quite good.
And that sitting down to do your work, regardless of the obstacle, is the kind of center idea behind the difference between an amateur and a professional. Because a professional, it's the idea of being a professional, it's regardless of whether you're making money or not, he is saying, treat it as a professional, go to work every day, no obstacle is too great for you to not get to work. It's like, at your job, you go to work whether you want to, whether you're sick, whether you miss the bus, your car doesn't work, or whatever, you get there. And so the idea is to treat your passion with that type of respect.
Yeah. Yeah, stay true to the cause, stay loyal to yourself, and always keep your goals in sight and always work towards them. Too many people, myself included in the past, have always found, you know, a job that they hated. If you're bitching and complaining about your job when you get out of bed in the morning and you have nothing else to look forward to, or you got nothing to work towards, something's wrong, and you have to change that. And you really need to focus on what's important to you. And if making money's important, then do that. But, you know, if making music's important, then when your feet hit the floor in the morning when you get out of bed, you should be a musician, and you should call yourself that no matter how people look at it. You know what I mean? No one can take that away from you in the morning. When you put your feet on the floor and you're a musician, you're a professional. You know what I mean? And you treat it like that.
Yeah, so I want to pose the question to you at this point. Are you a professional?
Have been for years.
You have been for years. I think that it's something that myself, I work towards. I don't think I'm there yet, but it's definitely, reading this book has opened my eyes in a lot of ways to approach creative projects from a different perspective.
See, I beg to differ, because when I met you and you started the Isotopes, you were booking tours and you had a lineup of members. You had this rotating door, but you were always setting goals and, you know, achieving them, really. Sometimes we hit some road bumps. I know, like, out on tour, we had some problems and stuff like that with, you know, vans breaking down and strange places in the country and whatnot. But I think that if you're going to put that much effort into something, you're already there, whether you acknowledge it or not. You just have to get that mindset, and I think you've had that for a long time.
Well, thanks for saying that, and thanks for seeing that in this project. You know, it is a battle. It's always a work in progress to treat your passion like a job.
Are we gonna hold each other's dinks and kiss now? Because I feel like we just blew a whole shitload of sunshine up each other's buttholes.
You know, it's really funny the way this may end up being edited together. We may already have been holding each other's dinks and kissing by the time people are hearing this. That takes us to our next guest, who is also on that van breakdown tour that Troy mentioned. Coming to us, joining us on the phone from Long Beach, Long Island, New York, is the bass player for the Stinkin' New Rochelles, the Stinkin' Young Rochelles, guitar player for the Stinkin' Isotopes, baseball coach for a bunch of Stinkin' high school candy asses, and survivor of the Stinkin' Hurricane Sandy, Noah Kaplan, a.k.a. Rookie Rochelle. Great to have you here in the studio. How's it hanging?
Not much new, really. Playing music. Got no plans for the summer. Pretty excited about that. So, just hanging out.
You got the summer off, hey?
Yeah. Best part about being a teacher.
That's great. So, how'd your ball team do this year? I heard that you guys, I heard you had to make some cuts. How'd the team end up being?
Yeah, actually, we're second place in our division, which is pretty good. Unfortunately, a few games towards the end of the season that we would have won got rained out, so chances are we could have, you know, had a better record than the first place team, but we got to live with it.
Oh, well, that's part of it, man. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains. That's what my dad used to say.
Dad used to say that a lot.
Yeah, my dad said that a lot because I lived in Vancouver, you know. So what's new? What's new with the band, man? Tell me what's going on. You are in two bands concurrently. One is called the New Rochelles and one is called the Young Rochelles. Could you make a distinction between those for us?
Yeah, man. The New Rochelles is myself, Rookie Rochelle, along with Ricky Rochelle and Ronnie Rochelle. And the Young Rochelles is, again, myself with Ricky Rochelle. And instead of Ronnie, it's Ray J. Rochelle. And that's the only difference.
So what's new? Do you guys have a new record coming out? What's new with the Young Rochelles?
So the Young Rochelles, we are actually in the studio now. I think Ricky Rochelle's recording drums as we speak on 7 brand new songs. 3 are going to be used for a split 7-inch with a band from Toronto called School Damage. And 3 more songs are going to be put out on another 7-inch by our buddies here in Long Beach. And then that seventh song is a cover for a tribute album, which I'm looking forward to.
Let's talk about the last time you, I, and Troy were all in the same van together.
We didn't talk about Troy's farts.
Yeah, let's go there. What do you think? Wow, that's peaking. Our soundboard's peaking. So anyway, we our van broke down, and we sent you home, and we actually sent you home right into the eye of Hurricane Sandy. So if you don't mind, I'm sure you've talked about it enough already, and it has passed, you know, a couple years now. But can you take us through that? Because you elected to stay in Long Beach, Long Island, which is one of the towns that got most severely hit by the storm. So I'm wondering, you know, what was the thought process there, and how did that go for you?
Didn't go well. So yeah, we had to end that tour early. And if you remember, we were staying in that place in Oakland that didn't have hot water, so we weren't getting much showers on the road. And then I don't even think there was, like, electricity in the house, from what I remember. But
I thought there was some electricity between you and Danny, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's enough. So I got home, and I was like, well, I don't feel like showering right now. I just want to, like, eat some real food and, you know, go to sleep. And then the next day, the storm hit, and I think I was talking to you online, and you go, like, go look outside, tell me what the storm's doing. I was like, oh, I don't think it's doing much. And I took a look outside, and I live a block away from the ocean here, and when I looked outside, the ocean was at my front door. So probably shortly after that, I lost electricity for about 3-4 weeks. We had no clean water for bathing or drinking, no food, and we actually had to, I chose to stay, but I had to evacuate my house because we thought we had a gas leak, so I wound up having to swim across my street to my neighbor's house.
Oh, Jesus.
Just waiting out on his front porch, watching all the electrical boxes exploding into the night because of the storm, and
That strikes me as pretty dangerous to be in the water in an environment like that. I'm not a scientist, but that doesn't sound like a good combination.
But you're right. And I had to chase my car down the street as it was floating away, and I kind of just had to cut ties with it and just let it go. And part of the things that sucked about that is I had probably around like $2,000 worth of music equipment in my trunk that all got lost, and our practice space here at in the Rochelle room, we had a bunch of amps and drums and PA systems that all got lost. We had to pull out all the soundproofing and stuff, and you know, that was quite some time ago, and we finally just got the Rochelle room up and running again just like a few months ago now, so this is a crazy time.
Yes, and when I was out there, that was right in the middle of all the reconstruction of all the buildings, and it really did damage pretty much everyone's place in town, and you must have been one of the only ones in town who stayed.
Say that again. I lost you for a second there.
You must have been one of the only ones who actually stayed in town, because this town is kind of like a beach town right on the ocean, and there's bridges out of town. Everyone else got out of Dodge mostly, didn't they? Or what? Did you see anyone else down there? Or?
There was a mandatory evacuation from even towns like 15 miles north of me. And I still decided to stay. I felt like if I had left and was watching all that stuff on the news and stuff, I'd kind of just feel like helpless, or, you know, just kind of be bummed out just sitting there in some house I don't know watching all these things. So I wanted to be, you know, in my town, in my house, trying to deal with all the stuff that had gone on, trying to fix things as quick as possible without electricity, and just trying to help out other families that were even worse off than I was. And you guys helped out a bunch by making those T-shirts for me.
That's right. If you guys remember, our listeners out there, if you remember, we launched a campaign right away as soon as we got back from Oakland with a T-shirt design fundraiser for Noah to you know, help him along the way with whatever he needed. Dallas Hansen came up with the slogan "Rookie Rochelle, washed out but not washed up," and we sold them, and we sent Noah the money, and you know, I think he probably You know, you probably spent it on bagels.
No, that actually helped me buy a bunch of music equipment that I had lost in the storm. That was very helpful. I remember I didn't have cell phone usage, and I finally got it turned back on, like, after, like, 2 or 3 weeks after the storm. And all these people start texting me about this T-shirt design, and I had no idea what they were talking about. And I finally heard from you and told me what you were doing. It was one of the nicest things.
Hey, man, anytime, happy to help. It was the least we could do after sending you back home into the eye of the storm. Anyway, we got to go. Noah Kaplan, a.k.a. Rookie Rochelle, it was great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for doing it, and talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, take care, and if Nate Bailey calls in, tell him I say what's up.
All right, well, that's the episode. It's episode 4 of Regional Blackout. We had Troy Zach as our guest co-host. Troy, thank you so much for coming in.
Woohoo!
And Noah out in New York, thank you for taking the call and taking the time.
Yeah, thank you very much or whatever.
Yes, go. Say hi to your landlord, Noah. Tell him to go wash his stinking ass.
You know how rude that is, what you just said? You call yourself a friend.
All right. Actually, yeah, Noah's been a great friend. I stayed at his place for 5 weeks last year in New York, and he put me up, and I ate well. So anyway, let's cut this out, and see everyone next week.
A good time. I feel alive. And the world turn it inside out, yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so don't stop me now. Don't stop me, cause I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. I'm a shooting star leaping through the skies like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, go, go. There's nothing stopping me. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic man out of you. Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball, don't stop me now. If you wanna have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now. Don't stop me now. I don't wanna stop at all. I'm a rocket ship on my way to Mars. On a collision course, I am a satellite. I'm out of control, I am a sex machine ready to reload. Like an atom bomb, I wanna go, 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 go explode. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I'll make a supersonic man out of you. Alright, this has been Regional Blackout Episode 4. Thanks for tuning in. Special thanks to our guest co-host, Troy Zach from The Real McKenzies. And extra special thanks to our call-in guest, all the way from Long Beach, Long Island, New York, Rookie Rochelle, a.k.a. Noah Kaplan, from the Young Rochelles, from the New Rochelles, from the Isotopes. You can follow us on Twitter at Regional B. Find us on Facebook and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/regionalblackout. Email us at regionalblackout@gmail.com and subscribe to the podcast at iTunes and just search Regional Blackout. All right, until next week, thanks for listening.
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a nonprofit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to